Marty Lurie here with Matt Hergis, who is the bullpen coach of the San Francisco Giants. Scottsdale spring training, no one's lost a game, no one's given up a home run. Everything feels pretty good so far.
Well, that's just it. I mean, this is the excitement. Our year is here, and although it's kind of cold right now, I mean, everybody is really excited about this, and as am I. It's my first big league job, so I'm fired up.
Matt, you spent 11 years in the big leagues, over 500 appearances, and obviously you came out of the bullpen, started four games one year. I don't know how that happened, but, you know, a number of saves, but you were sort of a guy who came in to settle things down, and now you bring that to the table for the Giants. Let's talk a little bit about that and your mindset with that.
Right. Well, I was not an overly talented guy. I caught some breaks. I stayed healthy, which was one thing. There was always about, I don't know, a multitude of guys ready to take my job, so I couldn't get hurt. But that's just, I think that's it as a coach. The great ones, there are some that can teach. There are some that are good. They're relationally good. But I think the guy that struggled, the guy that had to overcome stuff, had to persevere, I think it's easy for us guys that struggled, that weren't good, to impart, you know, some wisdom to these players. And I think that's kind of the trick as a coach is, you know, the superstars are the superstars. Yeah. It's the other guys, the guys who I was. How do we get the most out of them? How do we make them find something that can separate them, that can keep them at the big league level? And that's what's exciting to me.
Boy, great answer. Well, you did it. I pitched to about 40 years old. Come on, you're the new Hoyt Wilhelm here, even without a knuckleball. But you pitch for everybody in the West and for many teams. So how do you do that? How do you approach someone like that? Psychology is a big part of it.
Well, it really is. I mean, how do we instill confidence in players? Now, I do know this. I always thought back to the coaches that had the biggest impact on me, and I do the common denominator for me was I felt like the Claude Osteens of the world, who came to me after a really bad outing the next day and said, I couldn't sleep last night thinking about what's going on with you. Yeah. And that blew me away. Yeah. Like, this guy truly cares about me. I'm all in on whatever he has for me. I'm all in. Whatever he says, I know it's coming from a place that he cares. So that's who I want to be. I want to be a guy that lets these players understand that, listen, I'm not just here at the big league level because this is where I wanted to be and I'm just punching the clock. I want them to feel I'm all in on them.
Sure.
And truthfully, that's really how our job should be. Mm-hmm. I'm not here for me. And I tell them just about every day, listen, what can I do for you? Like, well, how can I help you be the best you can be? And ultimately, that turns into the best thing for this organization and ultimately getting back to that parade. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're here.
Yeah. Well, great to have Matt Hergis with us. How did this job come about for you? It's always an interesting story.
Yeah. Well, I retired at 40. I played my 40-year-old year in Omaha. And I kind of started switching over to this mode. Thankfully, Dayton Moore asked me to go to AAA, and I said, are you crazy? I'm 40 years old, and I'm not any good. You want me to go to AAA? And he said, we have young guys coming up that we would love for you to be around. Best thing I ever did. I didn't quit. You know, I ended up retiring or quitting, however you want to call it, but I stuck it out, and I became a coach down there. And I still, as I was still playing, Ned Colletti was with the Dodgers, and I saw him the day before our last game. We were playing in Oklahoma City. I was starting the game, and I saw him on ESPN, and I just texted him. I said, hey, Ned, haven't seen you in a while. Hope you're well. And he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm starting tomorrow, and I'm retiring. And he goes, well, I have a job for you if you're serious about that. So that's how I got into coaching right away. And then, doggone, it took Bobby Evans 7 years to call me. So I said, why is it taking so darn long? I mean, this is a special place for me and my family, San Francisco, and Sabes and Bobby, and played for Boch in San Diego. No brainer. I mean, when they asked to interview me, I mean, it was – Yes, absolutely.
Well, you're a giant. You led the team in saves 1 year, and Tyler Walker came in the next year. And you moved on, and you came to the Giants from San Diego for Clay Hensley. What was it like coming to the Giants the first time? What are your recollections of Felipe and just being part of the Giants?
Well, I will say that I think it's safe to say this now, but when Boats traded me, it was actually Kevin Towers. It was the last day before All-Star break, and Boach got tossed in the first inning. Adam Eaton, he was our starter, hit Pujols in the back with a curveball. He got tossed. Boachy gets tossed. I didn't go in the game. I'm like, why am I not pitching? So sure enough, about the fifth inning, I get a call. Boach wants you in the office. I'm like, oh, no. You know, all my family was there. Maybe something had my grandma run down. And Boach said, we traded you to San Francisco. Now, we were about 20 games back in San Diego. The Giants were 10 games in front. Yeah. This is an 0-3.
That's right.
And Boach said, I wish I was going with you. He goes, that's where I want to be someday. And sure enough, a couple years later, he is here. So I remember it vivid, like it was yesterday. And we went from, I went from the outhouse to the penthouse overnight. Yeah. And we ended up winning 100 games that year in San Francisco and went to the playoffs. And the Marlins had magic that year. They beat us in the first round. But my brother-in-law was on that Marlins team. So I became a fan the second they beat us. I was rooting for the Marlins, and they ended up pulling it off. So, yeah, this is it's great to be back here in black and orange, no doubt.
Yeah, Todd Hollingsworth, your brother-in-law, broadcaster now, if I'm not mistaken, saw him last year. Felipe was the manager. Now, I'm looking at the appearances on the bullpen side, 78, 77, 75. He used the bullpen, so you have to bring that mindset into this thing, because the bullpen today is a key part of the game.
It really is, and it's not just, we're not just looking for, one-inning guys, or you face these two batters, we get somebody else. We're trying to breed guys that can go multiple innings because, Bumgarner's Bumgarner. He's going to pitch till he says, I'm done, or till he's not effective. But oftentimes, the bullpen's used a lot more nowadays, and we saw it in the postseason last year. So we're trying to build in a mindset to these guys, listen, we may ask you to go back out for a second inning. You may have to get six outs tonight, and then maybe tomorrow night too. Okay. Felipe did a good job with his bullpen. He used this, and truthfully, that's what we wanted to be. As a bullpen guy, you want to be leaned on. You want to be the backbone of the team, and so we embraced it. I mean, we loved it. Jim Brower, I think, had 89 appearances 1 year. So it's one of those things where there's no complaining about that. Listen, this is your job, and you want to be leaned on. I mean, I actually 1 year threw the most pitches as a reliever. Now, that may not be good because I was probably throwing a lot of balls, but I was leaned on, and that's what I wanted to be. As a bullpen guy, you want to be a guy that your manager says, you know what, I'm comfortable bringing him in. And you know what, the next night, again, and you're still hot, you're staying hot, keep guts, keep going, and that's kind of, I think maybe that's been lost a little bit is, relievers like, well, I just want an inning, I have a day off. And no,
I got you.
Use me. I mean, you're paying me to go out there and fight for us. And that's what I want to instill in our guys.
Okay, very good. That would be a little different mindset to see a guy go a couple of innings.
Yeah.
Look, you've got some people here who have been somewhat inconsistent. Derek Law has been inconsistent. The two lefties have been inconsistent. You got some young people now coming up. Tyler Sear comes to mind very quickly for me. So what can you do for the guys who have been inconsistent? What can happen with them?
Well, it's one of those things where guys are feeling out the leg. I mean, we have stuff down there.
Yeah.
I mean, Law has great stuff. Osich has great stuff. Okert. I mean, these are guys that are really good.
Yeah.
Now, is it a mindset? Is it mechanical? These are all things we're figuring out now. There are certain adjustments we need to make with guys mechanically, but ultimately it's the mindset for me. You can really, if you really, really wanted to, you could probably stand on your head and throw the ball over the plate. I'm a believer. I'm a believer that your will to win supersedes mechanics.
Okay.
Now, to be able to repeat over and over and over, you need solid mechanics, but I think the mindset is everything.
Okay.
Confidence is everything, and you don't get confidence until you succeed. But turning these guys, not turning them, because they all have good, they have good makeup, it's turning them into truly believing that they are a beast on the mound. And that's really what it is. And you know what? I had to trick, because I know I wasn't, but I had to feel like I was. So tricking your mind into believing that you're the right man at the right time on this mound, and nobody, if I execute, good things will happen. Kind of instilling that into him, kind of a bulldog, like the Oral Hershiser bulldog. You know, he's been with us with the Dodgers the last few years, and I remembered why he was so good. I mean, he had good stuff, but it wasn't elite stuff. It's that inner drive to believe, listen, if I make my pitch, good things are going to happen. There's zero careful. Careful never works. So getting careful out of their mind. And we got Bob Tewksbury here, which is helping with the mental side, which I'm so thrilled about. Huge part of the game. So we're moving in the right direction. And again, like you said, we have good arms. We really do. We have depth. It's just making them believe how good they are, because we can just say, hey, you're really good. You realize how good your stuff is? But that's not enough. That's not enough. It's them actually taking this and believing in it.
Yeah, very good. Well, great, man. Nice to have Matt with us, Matt Hergis. Melanson, of course, he's a huge part of this thing with Dyson, of course. Then you got Tony Watson now and Will Smith a little bit later on. But let's talk about just a little bit about Melanson, what you see with him, and also his makeup.
Right. So far, you know, I did not know Mark Melanson at all before I got here. And I realize he's a pretty cerebral guy.
Yes.
He's a thinker, which I think is a plus. I think it's a bonus. Not everybody is. Some guys are just dead brain heavers. He's a guy that has really good closer type stuff. That he's also a thinker. So I like that. It's easier to work with a guy like that. Mark is healthy. And that's the big thing. I mean, health is everything. If you're not healthy, you're going out there with a, you know, half-cocked gun, and it doesn't always work. So him getting healthy is the key. I think he's ready to roll, and I'm really excited to see him get to where he was. I mean, I saw domination in Washington and in Pittsburgh. We know what he can do. Now he's healthy. Let him go again, and I'm excited to work with this dude. I mean, it's he's fun. He's going to be fun.
All right, Matt Hergis, one last thing for you before we go back to work here. Pace of play has been a big topic here and in the camp, and we've talked about it a lot. You're in the bullpen. Now, the catcher can't go out and stall anymore, at least to use his trips up, and the coach can't come out and stall. You got to get guys hot and ready right away.
Right. And ultimately, I think our theme here is that, listen, there's no excuses. There's no built-in excuse. There's no, hey, didn't give me enough time. We're just going to be, we're going to take this as we're the backbone of this club, and the buck stops here, right? There's not going to be an excuse. Sure, there's only going to be six mound visits, whether from the coach, you know, the pitching coach, Kurt Young, Boach, the third baseman, the catcher. I mean, there's teams that absolutely abuse this, and it slows the game down, and fans are getting upset about it, and I get it. But listen, that's not going to affect us. Anything they implement is not going to affect us in a negative way. We're going to embrace whatever it is. Like Joe Torre said today in our meeting, he goes, yeah, this light, the light here on the corner may not, it doesn't make sense that it's here, but it is here, and we're going to follow it. It's a rule. I mean, these are rules that are being implemented. Okay, fine. It is what it is. There will be no excuses. We're going to embrace them, whatever they are. Sure, we may disagree, but it's not going to be an excuse.
All right. Well, great to have you on. Well, I'm looking forward to talk to you during the year. And as I can see, it's a different approach that you bring, and it's sort of the modern approach of what's going on in baseball. So I appreciate you taking the time, and looking forward to a good season with you, Matt. Thanks so much.
Marty, thank you. I appreciate it.
Very good. No, very good. That's Matt Hergis. More coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.